and surgery don't know these common things. And I keep saying, the notice outside the doctor, their own notice with the rod and the snake around it, says your doctor is practicing medicine. The word that you need to realise is the practicing. The thing is, they don't tell you that he's practicing on you.
Mm.
He hasn't perfected the art yet. Yeah, you're all guinea pigs. He hasn't perfected the art yet, bless him. So, now we know Dr. Jesus has, but we've got to push enough with our faith and believe the word and just believe God to do a great work. I mean, I've had torn muscles in the past and I've been prayed for. I remember once when I was an apprentice, I tore some muscles in my back and I was in agony. And I went to church and they prayed for me. Next day I was totally healed, carried on working.
Amen.
No pain whatsoever.
Mm.
But again, we have to push our faith, and I suppose it's, we can get a bit lax at times,
mm.
with, you know, we can start coasting along.
Mm.
You know, Roy's encouraged me when we saw Roy, 3 weeks ago now, to
mm.
him. I mean, when Ellen said something about,
I'm only
21. He was there like lightning, weren't he?
I'm not having life.
Like the old Roy, weren't he?
It was, and I thought, yeah. And then when I saw him coming, I thought, come on, we've got to keep believing. We've got to keep pressing in. We've just got to keep doing this. And I don't know what the outcome is, but the outcome is dependent on us pressing in,
mm.
right? As well as, you know, we are part of it. None of us, we're not disconnected from one another, we're
yeah.
all connected, we're all
mm.
interconnected. The church is made up of, the word says, of lively stones.
Mm.
And so we're connected to one another, and we feed one another, we encourage one another, we bless one another,
mm.
and we bring our faith together, and we see God in action. And as Jesus said when he went to his own town of Nazareth, very few people were healed,
mm-hmm.
and his only criticism was because of their lack of faith, because they looked at him and said, it's only Jesus,
mm-hmm.
carpenter's son of Joseph, and they looked at him in that light. They didn't look at him as the Messiah, they didn't look at him as that one who's come to give life. Whereas other places, like blind Bartimaeus, you know, there's a crowd there and he knows Jesus is coming, and he made sure he got his attention. And what do you want?
Mm.
He was asked. I want to see.
Mm.
And he prayed for him. And prayed a couple of times for him. And he received his sight. Right? And he was, what do you want to see? Like the centurion. Just speak the word.
Mm.
That's all you've got to do. Just command it happen. And it will.
Mm.
What faith, Jesus said. What faith. Not found that in all of Israel. Faith. The word says if you have faith the size of a mustard seed.
Uh-uh.
And we've got to stir our faith. We've got to push our faith to another level and watch it grow.
Mm.
And over the years we've seen many people healed, but we keep needing to push to another level. Can't become lax in it. We get easy with things and we just think, oh, it's okay. I've been receiving some emails from somebody in the US for one a day for the last few days. Really, it's on a very similar line, actually. Renewing your mind, changing what and how you think. See yourself as God sees you. Say what God says about you. And the heading is, your transformation begins. And I put day one, and then there's 6 days on here, and they're all scriptures to be read out to remind yourself who you are. And you know, so I thought I'll print these off tonight because I think it's good at times to take the word of God and remind yourself who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, you're reminding the devil who
yeah.
you are.
Mm-hmm.
And you're reminding principalities who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And you're reminding God who you are. You know, you're coming in line your confession, my confession, is powerful.
Mm.
So we so easily can fall into negative confessions. But it really is about changing your confession. The Bible says there is life and death is in the power of the tongue. So what you speak creates some form of death or life.
I was listening to something only this week. It was Kenneth Copeland and Jesse Duplantis were in the same room having a chat.
Mm.
And one says to the other, he says, it said in the Bible that man shall live to be 120. Why do you think man doesn't live to be 120? He says, because he never says it.
Mm-hmm.
So quite happy with 70. That's what he did.
Well, that's what they tend to confess,
yeah.
You see. Now, 70 is because of the fall and after the flood, but we are redeemed.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to realise that we can live this 120 and live it healthily as well. That's the thing.
That's the key, because you don't want 120 if
it's in bad health.
No.
If it's not quality health.
No. But again, you see, we have to rise to this level of faith in believing that God can do this, because As we're hearing even now, there are people dying much younger than quite a few of us are now, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
A funeral I did yesterday, she was 42.
42?
Mm-hmm. Youngest I've ever had.
It's no age, is it?
No.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I think we're probably all older than 42 now, aren't we? Not quite.
92 or 42.
So, it's... And then they're even saying that because of the diet that people are eating now, they're not going to get to 42.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And the way people are living. But you know, when we start to take the word of God, it begins to change our life. And even if we're hit with a sickness, I believe God, the word of God, can change all of that. Because Jesus is the Word.
Yeah, but look at Moses, he was in the Old Covenant and yet he was 120 when he went dead sick, he just went up there and God took him.
It says, although Moses was 120 years old when he died, his eye was not dim nor his vigour abated.
There you go. Still climbing mountains at 120. You know.
What was I heard today? People used to live to be in 900 years old before they died. So, but we're much quicker at doing it now.
Yeah.
Find out, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yes, they did. I mean, you read about Adam and Methuselah.
Yeah.
You know, I mean. Oh.
He was in 1,000.
Yeah.
969.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. Somebody once tried to say to me, well, maybe the days were shorter. Well, how do you do that?
Earth speaks quicker.
Well, the years were shorter, you know. It's like, but, you know,
as you get older, Earth does spin faster, doesn't it?
Yeah, it must do, yeah.
Years can pass quicker.
But, no, I mean, I think... Sometimes we just need to stir each other up, don't we?
We don't. Mm.
Sometimes we get a little bit. We can get a little bit lax, and coast. Just coast along for a while. I think we're okay, but you know, we have to keep pressing.
Because really, challenges are there to push us into faith, aren't they?
Mm.
Yeah.
To increase our faith,
yeah.
To take us from glory to glory.
Mm.
So. When we get a challenge, we are pushed to believe God, and that should make us stronger. But we're such creatures of comfort. I know I am. When everything's okay,
yeah.
Sort of not pushing every day, like I am the healed. It's not even in my head. But when I'm sick, it's like, come on, Grace. But then I'm at rock bottom,
yeah.
And it's really hard. It's like lifting yourself up with your shoelaces, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's not wrong to go to the doctor, is it? I mean, if you're young to go.
No. No, I mean, thank God for the wisdom that God has given to man and the skills that they've been able to develop through God's wisdom and knowledge. So we're not saying, you know, don't go to doctors.
No.
But what we're saying is don't cut God out in
the circumstances
situation.
The doctor, is it? It's
no.
It's keep going to the doctor, but at the same time, you need to be building your faith every day and confessing what God says, don't we?
Yeah.
To reach out.
Sometimes when you go to the doctor, you find out what's wrong with you, and it's like, okay, now I know how to pray.
Yeah,
now I know how to focus my prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Now I know what to go on the attack on.
Yeah.
And direct the word of God into my body and deal with things and begin to let it work. And the word will work powerfully then in our lives. I say, you know, I've told you many times that Pauline and I came to faith through seeing people healed.
Yeah.
That was the thing that totally drew us to Christ in that sense. Not that we, in one sense, were far from him, we'd always been brought up to believe in him, but actually to take that next step of accepting him as Lord and Saviour, it was amazing to see these people being healed,
yeah.
Weren't it?
Yeah.
And
it would be fabulous to see all this again, to be experiencing healing as a normal thing.
Well, if I didn't receive God, I wouldn't have been healed and been here now. I know that. I wouldn't have been here now.
You're a miracle. Bill's a miracle.
And it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy either way. I mean, it wasn't easy for me. It wasn't easy for God. Because he could push you all the way, but it were up to me to listen and
know
what I'm going to do, isn't it?
Well, when you go to the doctor, he gives you a prescription, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And it's up to you then what you do with it, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can choose not to cooperate with the doctor and
just put them in your cupboard and
leave it, forget it, so that's it. And it, in the same way, the word of God, do we take the word of God when we need it, when we need that extra divine life? Because this word gives life. That's what the Bible says. The word gives life. It's a living word, and then when you and I begin to speak it, it gives life to our mortal bodies. So it is powerful.
Because you always said, didn't you? What's it, Rob? That always blessed me. You'll take your tablets 3 times a day if the doctor tells you to. But do we take the word of God 3 times a day?
Mm.
As if it is, we believe it is the medicine.
Yeah, it's true, and I haven't said it for a long time, and I'd forgotten about that in one sense. But and the problem is that when you start mixing with people who I don't like to say it like that, but start mixing with people whose faith is probably not as
strong as
strong and what have you, and they've been Christians even maybe longer than maybe some of us have. And yet their faith is not at that level for healing. They'll turn around and tell you, well, you know, you have to do this, and this is what happens, and you'll have to go through this process. I mean, I had that done to me. And you do. If you're not careful, you do accept what they say. Instead of saying, whoa, hang on, wait a minute. I really need to sit down, and I need to take stock. And I need to look into this and pray. I mean, my problem at the moment, it happened just as we were going out to Rwanda. It didn't bother me at all. While out there, never had an ounce of pain or trouble with it. And we were never still. And, you know, it's just the word of God was working and that, and it's... And I must admit, I really have had little problem with it. And but maybe I should just have pushed a bit harder. And so that's me criticising me. Because one can become a little complacent, shall we say. We encourage others, and we have to believe God for each other as well.
Yeah.
can easily get complacent though, can't you?
Can.
If you you're feeling alright and full of beans and all that,
then
if something happens, you think, oh God, you go straight to God, don't you?
You do.
If you're alright, you can sort of forget.
Mm.
Yeah, you just ramble along, don't you?
Yeah.
I read something just a few days ago. There'd been a survey done on ministers, and it was like, how much time did they pray a day? And by the time they put the survey together, and it came out to something like ministers prayed for 4 minutes a day.
Mm.
The rest of the time they were so busy doing other things.
Mm.
And it's like, well, that's bad, isn't it?
Mm.
Well, it puts us in a poor light.
Mm.
I think it's people like the Wesleys and that used to pray for 1-2 hours or more a day.
Mm.
And they saw revival.
Mm.
I think Smith Wigglesworth said he didn't go for 5 minutes longer than prayer, but he prayed nearly every 5 minutes, I think, and he'd always got his prayer book out and his Bible and on bus and train and everything.
Yeah.
Smith was very much a person that he'd read his Bible for a few minutes and stop, and then within the next hour he was doing it again, reading again for so many minutes. So it was this constant, so it wasn't a case of spending an hour reading, but it was spending the day.
Mm.
And it's like, I suppose we said, you brought up the other week about the Lord's Prayer, and that was broken up into 6 sections, which you can take something like 10 minutes to pray the Lord, part of the Lord's Prayer, and then you can stop, and then later on in the day you can pick up where you left off, and you can continue and can actually pray for an hour through the day and not realise it.
Mm.
But you've actually prayed and you've covered many of the needs, and you can add into that as you pray, can't you?
Yeah.
Mm. So it's, as Bill said, we used to do it every Friday, didn't we?
Mm.
I think we
might. 7 o'clock.
We
used to have one group at our house and then one group, I think, at Boring's.
I can remember Phil and Sina talking in an odd time about that. That's when I was first starting to come to church.
Yeah. And I think, maybe we ought to pick it up again and just refresh it. In the sense that, not refresh the Lord's Prayer, but refresh the activity, and do it, and just spend that time. I mean, what we did as groups, we would ask somebody to lead section one, didn't we? And just said, just lead us in that area, and then somebody else lead section two, and we'd pray for a few minutes, and we'd all pray out loud together. We'd just pray for the needs that, if you were praying for our families, then somebody would lead us in that, maybe have a little bit of input, and then we'd start to pray, and we'd pray for our families, and we'd pray all more or less all at once, don't we, in that sense, because we were praying for different members of our families and things like that, and God hears.
Mm.
One doesn't need to say, well, just a minute, if there's that much noise, you have to take it one at a time. Well, if that happened, we'd never get a word in, would we, with all the people that's alive today? So we just press in and pray, and I believe we saw results from that.
Mm. You can pray as you're going around doing your work.
That's right.
You can iron on the old sometimes in the house, and
absolutely.
I mean, you don't have to think to wash up, do you?
No.
It's not a job you've got to think about. No. You can be talking to God while you're doing it.
Yeah.
And
there are times when you do need to just sort of set some time and not just praying but listening to God, because we've talked many times about there's no point in just having a one-sided conversation, because it's not a conversation, is it? It's a bit like a lecture or a shopping list. This is what I need, just cash me out now. What do you mean I can't have two of these? But you see, it's a conversation, because God prayer, and this is what you've got to get in mind as well, prayer is this conversation that you're having with God. We tend to sort of look at prayer as if it's something quite unique. Probably it is today, in the sense that even conversation can be quite unique, because these days people very rarely communicate verbally. They're all on these texts and Facebook, they're all on these little things, you know, sending messages to anybody and everybody. But to actually have a face-to-face conversation with somebody these days seems to be more of a rarity. And it's much nicer to have a conversation with somebody, because when you speak to somebody, you see their reactions when you say something. Do you know me? When I'm preaching in church, if I suddenly see a reaction on somebody's face of confusion, then I realise that they did not understand what I've just said. So then I'll say, you didn't understand that, did you? And you know, the communication usually coming back, no. So what do? I have to then think, okay, how can I bring that out in another way to try and explain it so they catch hold of it? Well, that doesn't happen when you're just texting somebody. It doesn't come through clearly, does it? And sometimes you can write something, and writing doesn't give the expression, the enunciation of words, does it?
No body language,
that's right. And so then there is, what is this person saying? And it can be then taken the wrong way as well, you know. Suddenly, it's like, but when you're face to face with people, you're interacting. And it's much nicer. It's much nicer.
Yes.
And as we are in tonight, there's this, we can share together and listen to one another. And you're going to say?
I was going to say, it's really strange how you've, well, it's not strange, it's Christ, isn't it? I have given this, I've not done it for such a long time, but I found a list of scriptures like this, what I'd wrote down and put my own in it with the word of God. And I was reading them all today, and I really felt blessed and really felt full of, and you've just given me this, and I can't, you know, you just think, wow.
Is God trying to tell us something?
I think he is, definitely, because I was doing it and I really got medicine from it. That's all I can say. It was wonderful.
Because God wants to confirm his word each time. And you know, it's in the mouth of two or three witnesses. There am I in the midst, he says.
Yeah, look, it's probably.
And his word is powerful and it's true. And I think we need again to re-emphasize the power of the word. That as we do that, we will see greater results in our own lives and in the lives of others that we come into contact with. So, and again, I long for the day that I would see Roy raised up out of that chair and speaking.
Amen.
I really do. And I know I said this earlier on, but when I saw him the other week, I was so excited. He blessed me. He blessed me.
I think we all saw the change in him, his face.
Yes.
Straight away.
Yes.
Yeah.
So let's press into the word. Let's push on. And let's cause our faith to grow. Because in growing of our faith, then it will have results on our life as individual, but it also has the, for want of a word, the knock-on effect of having results in other people's lives as we pray for them. That we will see, this will cause, it's like the stone being dropped into a pond. It's the ripple effect, isn't it? We drop a small stone in a pond, and then suddenly there are ripples that come out, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, doesn't it? And it travels a long distance. The power of God's word, it's like dropping a pebble into water, and it ripples out and it has an effect right across. That's what we've got to start to do.
Shall I take one of these for Pat?
I knew that, I heard you asking that one before you asked it. I was just going to say, I'll give you one of these for Pat. The other one obviously must be for me to give to Ray tomorrow. Isn't that wonderful, eh?
It's got the right number.
Yeah.
Wow, that's it.
So, run another one for Rebecca, won't
you? Yes, I will run one off for Rebecca. So for tonight I brought exactly the right number.
Yeah, we did.
But it's wonderful how God works in our lives. I just love this when these things happen. Because it does encourage one's faith. Mm. And yeah, we may not be big, but I tell you what, you have seen possibly more signs and wonders. You've seen more people healed than many Christians who are going even into big churches. And that's quite astounding, really. You know, when we've been to Romania, and we've seen there people just blessed to such a point, they're healed and set free. And then God does even more than just heal people when they're prayed for. I mean, the one that astounded Danny most of all was that dear lady who was the seamstress, and she got pains in her back and in her arms and taking pills for 10 years, and said, "Well, had to get a lift to church every time to get to church." And I said, "Well, are the pills helping?" "No." "Well, why are you taking them?" "You know, 10 years and they're not helping. They don't do any help. So, well, why are you taking them?" I said, "Obviously because the doctor prescribed them." And so we prayed for her. And then the next morning, she'd walked to church. From the other side of the village.
Oh, no.
To come to tell us
that
all the pain had gone. And the other thing that we didn't realise, that she'd always been stooped over for quite a number of years because of her job, she suddenly was stood upright.
Mm.
And then the thing that has happened to her as well is the fact that she's now a real encouragement in the church, where she used to be so negative and so against what was happening. And so, when God moves in, he moves.
Mm.
When we pray, you know, he does more than what we pray.
Yeah.
You know, he does more than what we see.
I think when you speak the word, it changes the atmosphere as well.
Absolutely, every time.
Yeah.
Every time.
Mm.
Yeah, totally agree with you. As the Bible says, there's life and death is in the power of the tongue. And as you say, when you speak the word, you change the atmosphere. You change the spiritual atmosphere.
Mm.
And the dynamics change around us then. And if we speak faith around ourselves and around others, and when we come together, we already come with that dynamic. We already come with an attitude of faith. We already come when we're actually ready to receive something from God. We're already expecting.
Mm,
We've got this spirit of expectancy. That God is going to turn up, the Holy Spirit is going to turn up, and he's going to do something that maybe we've never seen before. And I believe God wants to do that. I believe we've all received Christ into our lives, which has given us a relationship with God the Father. But there's a third part of the Trinity. And he's just as equal as the other two thirds. And he wants to have a relationship as well. He wants to be part of it, because it is part of the completeness of the Godhead. And none of these are held back from us.
No.
They're made available to us. But we have to now make ourselves available to them as well. It's simple. It's not complicated.
Well, Pat says to me today, she says, or it was yesterday, I forget that, but she says, is there, permanently there, In this side of my head, you know, I know he is with me.
Praise God.
Definitely, she says.
Praise God.
I wanted to feel.
Yeah, you know, the other side. Yeah.
Every part, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know he's with me. I know.
Yeah, you do.
He was with me.
Yeah.
And I mean, she's just. You know, she feels she's got all of us, all this friends, and it's really helping her a lot.
Mm.
Really is. Mm. I knew it would if we'd get her to church.
Yeah.
She'd be a lot better. You know.
She got a word the other week.
Yeah.
Yeah, she did. That's when the devil was attacked her. You see, he just comes in,
doesn't
he?
Because she knows he's losing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's his last shot.
Amen.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. So it's great to see the word of God working, and it is powerful.
Mm.
And that's why, even to you, you need to do this. This will change your future.
Mm.
Right? This will change your future. This is not to put, it might put a little bit of pressure on you, but it's not the wrong sort of pressure. It's the right sort of pressure to press you forward. You need this.
Yeah.
They all need this as well, by the way. You know, everybody else needs it, but you definitely do need to start on this and begin to. You're going to see some life-changing results if you will persist with this. Right? I believe that.
Mm.
You've come through this other crisis. You need to make sure you keep out of that and now move forward with this in mind. God has got a future for you.
Mm.
You have to decide that you're going to go for that future. Right? Leave your past behind. Your past can't do anything for you, but you have a future. And your future now is with this destiny of the Word of God in your life.
Yes.
It will change things.
Yeah.
That Jeremiah 29:11 says that I know the plans I have for you, plans for good and
not
for
evil.
Yeah.
Not for evil,
yeah.
Absolutely. Plans
that's
for good and not for evil. And that's true. Jeremiah. Yeah, it's often quoted, that one, isn't it?
Mm.
But it's so true.
Mm.
God looks at you and he knows you by name. You know, look, colour your eyes out. He knows how many grey hairs you've got, whether you've had it dyed or not. And he knows how many you've got, whether you're going bald or not.
Can't keep anything from God.
No.
You can't. He knows everything about us. The moment that you tell God something's happening in your life, he's not just found out about it. He knew before you knew.
When I walk by a church today, he said, "Don't worry about tomorrow, God's already there."
Absolutely.
That's what he said.
Yeah. Absolutely.
He's beat you, he's already there, isn't he?
If you're destined for tomorrow, right?
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it, because God has already made plans for it.
Mm-hmm. He's already there.
He's already there, you see. You see, God's not in time.
No.
You see, this is where we get this this thing where, what about tomorrow? God's not in time. God transcends time. Now, that to me is something I cannot mentally deal with, in one sense, and try and explain it. I just can't analyse it. I can't put it into enough words to explain it. So that's something I have to take by faith, that God is already in tomorrow. And he better be.
That meal before tomorrow.
Well,
do you know, today I've been sending out orders, and I can't tell you how many times this little verse cropped up, either on a pass-it-on or a bookmark. It weren't a verse, it was a little quote, and it says, "Relax, God's got it covered."
Wow. Mm. Yeah.
And I thought, are you telling me? Just, he's there. It's all sorted before you get there.
It is. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow, but you don't.
I know.
I think I probably told you this one, but I'll remind you. Many years ago, when I was working in industry, we had a big problem. out in South Africa with some equipment, and one of the directors in the company rang for my manager, and he was away on holiday conveniently, and I was called to a meeting the next day, and no, I was called to a meeting
on the Monday.
This was on the Friday. I got told this Friday afternoon, and I was told basically that somebody would lose the job on this one, and the intimation was that it was probably going to be me. And that's just what you want to hear at sort of 4 or 5 o'clock Friday tea time, isn't it? And then it's like, now you can steal for the rest of the weekend on this one and lose sleep. Well, I didn't. I gave it over to God. And what happened on the Sunday in church, Sunday morning, somebody gave a word, and it was for me, that everything was going to be fine and I wasn't to worry. Well, you know, I wasn't worrying, but I could see I was trusting God. And I was told on the Friday that I needed to be in his office at 9 o'clock Monday morning, and somebody's head would roll. So 9 o'clock came. I didn't get a phone call, so I rang down, said, you know, I'm supposed to be down at 9 o'clock. Oh, he's not in yet. Oh, okay, I'll ring you when he comes in. 10 o'clock went by, still hadn't arrived. 11 o'clock went by, still hadn't arrived. I think towards lunchtime, you know, it's like the devil's really stringing this one out now. We're not just got Monday morning, we're now going pushing towards Monday afternoon. And finally, I get the phone call, so I go down. And there were two directors. One was not very nice. The other director, he could be sharp and mean, but if you were absolutely straight and honest with him, he was your best friend. And I was always straight and honest with them all. And but he was on holiday, so I knew that you know, the firing squad had got its guns loaded. And I turned up at the and went into the reception room, sat there, and suddenly I heard the voice of this director who was supposed to be on holiday, who was the one who was, he was loud and he could really upset people, but he and I got on well because I was always honest with him, always met my promises and told him the truth, never told him anything other than that. And I heard his voice and I thought, what's he doing here? He's away on holiday, he's got another week away. And as it happened, I was then called into his office, and the other director was in there. And suddenly there came this barrage of accusations, and from this director that wasn't very pleasant, a young upstart, and I'm just about to answer, and as I opened my mouth, the other director began to speak for me, and he defended me all the way. I never said a word, and he defended me all the way. And he was so mad, this other director, that they had this 8, 9, 10 foot long glass table. He got so mad, he actually banged down on the thing, and I thought, he's going to smash that in a minute. I thought he was going to smash the table top. And I never had to say a word. I was promised on the Sunday morning in church that I would not have to defend myself. And I never said a word. And I walked out. Not guilty. I discovered afterwards, he was looking for my boss. He wanted to hang my boss, but he was away on holiday. But you know, they were so, he was so incensed about getting somebody, that God said, this is not the way. But I had to learn to trust God, even when I was threatened. Because I was threatened. But I knew God had also given me a promise. He put me in that company, and it wasn't my time to leave. And God was faithful. But we have to keep trusting this word, and it was taking, you know, having to take the word of God on board and watch God work. Because he, God, is faithful to his word and to his promises. And we just have to bring God in remembrance of his promises and trust him. And as I say, he's, as we said, he's already in tomorrow. He was already in Monday before Monday arrived. He'd already organised Monday before Monday arrived in my calendar. When I arrived in Monday, Monday's all set up, ready to run. Everything's in place, everything's in order, every person's in position. When I arrive in Monday, he's organised Monday for me. I find that amazing.
I could have done it without him in there.
It could, absolutely. I didn't need to be there. Well, I wasn't really in the end. I just made an appearance physically, but I never said anything. Apart from good morning, and I think that was about all I got out. And after that, it was this.
Cheerio.
Thank you very much.
If you think about it, if God's plans for us are good and not for evil, to give us a hope and a future, and he's planned every day, he's planned my day I was born and the day that I die, he's planned every one of those days. He's planned them. So if he's planned them, they've got to be good plans, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
So why am I worrying?
Well, only once,
because it will always turn to God. Even if it looks bad or looks negative at one point, it will turn to good. So don't ever quit on your faith.
Well, he wants us to be the same whatever situation we're in, doesn't he, so we can work.
Because you see, he has already made he's already made provision in you and in tomorrow for you, right? He's already equipped you for tomorrow. Now he's giving you an opportunity when you arrive in tomorrow to use what he gave you.
I think it's because we don't know what's going to happen, don't we? We think, and then sometimes you're waiting for God to move and you think he's not moving, but he's not moving the bit where you want him to. He's doing something what he wants to do. It's not what you planned. It's
but the goal is good, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And
so
it's by faith.
I've been studying about righteousness since Sunday, and I found it really good, listening to it and all sorts of things, and it's saying how he wants us to be a light. Whatever situation you're in, whether you're disappointed, whatever, if you get your way or don't get your way, turn your light up and shine. He wants us to shine to everybody. We don't have to be religious at it. We need to show that God is in us and have that faith that God is in us to shine and whatever, you know. And I thought, I just, when I read it today, I thought, go on, fire it at me, devil, then, because whatever you do, the more I'll praise God if you fire it at me. I felt really kind of...
Yeah, it's true, that.
Yeah.
It's a really
brilliant.
Yeah.
So, thank God for tomorrow. Because he's already there.
Like, I went to bed last night and I thought, because you know what I said to you, didn't you, about righteousness? So I went to bed last night, I got my Bible out. I thought, right. So I'll just turn and find righteousness. And I thought, well, I know what I'll do. I'll start in the Psalms, know where I am. So I'm going through them and I'm thinking, oh, this is lovely, this. So I'm going on and on and on. I thought, right. So I went right to 40. And then I didn't realise. Book 2.
Oh, yes.
I didn't realise in Psalms, or book 2, book 3, book 4. I thought, right, I'll do that then. Finish, then I'll take that up after. And there were quite a few. And I was reading, I thought, this is marvellous, this. In fact, I'll read this one to you. It's Psalm 7, verse 8. Let the Lord judge the peoples, judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness, according to my integrity, O Most High, O righteous God, who searches minds and hearts, bring to an end the violence of the wicked and make the righteous secure. My shield is God's Most High, who saves the upright in heart. God is a righteous judge a God who expresses his wrath every day.
Mm.
And I got right excited with it, and as I say, I kept going on, and I've marked them all, you know.
Yeah.
And I thought, ooh, it sounded lovely.
The Psalms is full of God's righteousness.
Mm. No, I didn't realise that, but I thought, oh, this is, if I go to into this, I know where I'm going. So I'm going to carry on, you know, doing it right to the end. And then I looked in Proverbs, and there's a lot in there as well. So I thought, oh, I'm right excited about this. I'm going to mark all these righteousness things and read them, and they're really, really good. And I run Christine this morning, didn't I? I'm right excited about it. We're talking to each other, I'm saying to her, get this, Psalm 7, down to verse so-and-so. Oh, yeah, she's reading it to me, and so we're in a little do it morning, aren't we?
We were, yeah.
Yeah.
And then what did we get? I'd got door open because it were hot. We got somebody drilling or doing something outside. I says to my mum, go away, devil, go away. I'm going off like this. So we had a little laugh about it. And then as we'd finished, it kind of... My mum says, oh, well, we've finished anyway. It's too late. But I was saying, on your bike, go away.
Yeah. It were right good, you know.
It was brilliant.
It's good,
have you seen that one there?
Yeah.
The bottom one on the first page.
Mm.
I am the righteousness of God.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's from 1 Corinthians 5:20 and 4. He hath made him to be sin for us who know no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him.
Yes.
Wow. So there's one already there for you.
See? That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was saying to Josh, what do you think righteousness means? Well, he said, being good and things like that, you know. I said, well, I think it's, you know, you've got to, the Ten Commandments, you've got to obey, I think. That's one of them, I said. And I'm talking to Steve, not for him, saying, what do you think righteousness means?
It's not a word that's used these days, is it?
I know. Amazing.
Not many people who...
Yeah.
I mean, it's a big word in one sense, in writing it, but in the understanding of it, it is enormous.
Well, I read in, as Ivy says about integrity, I thought that's what it meant, because in Genesis, you know, where Jacob had worked for Laban and he kept changing his wages and he put them sticks in the troughs, he says, my righteousness will be proved, you know, with the flocks.
That's
and
right.
But, it's his integrity,
he's
not lied, he's done what he's, you know.
Yeah.
But then, of course, in one we read today in 2 Timothy, it says something about, is it in Ezekiel and all of them, that you can lose your righteousness. If the righteous man does righteous things, but then does unrighteous things, it says something about losing it. And I thought, oh dear. You know,
where was that?
It was in Ezekiel. I don't know, we'll have to look on the
Instagram,
because I went so far, I thought,
oh,
my mind's going.
We've been doing
Saint John. Stop that. Ezekiel 3:20, again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him a warning, he shall die in his sin, his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered. But his blood will I require at thy hand. Because he didn't warn somebody when they were doing...
Isn't this under the...
The law. Yeah, it is that. But that in Timothy, I don't know what it was this morning. In UCB or other book this morning.
The thing is, we get a warning, don't we? We usually get a warning. We know if it's going to be wrong, what we do, how we act, what we're saying.
I think all of us know right from wrong.
No, we do. No,
it's up to the individual person what they're doing, but they do know right from wrong.
Yeah, they do, definitely.
Even when you're little, as you begin to grow very young, you can learn right from wrong, can't you? You're taught it, so.
It's a big subject. It's a big subject. And.
Because it says put on righteousness, and Jesus is our righteousness, so it just seems never ending. I thought it would be the nature of God that we'd put on or to have. I don't know.
Well, Jesus was righteous whatever he went through, and he got some stick, he did. me, we're righteous, and that's how God wants us to be. We're going to get what God, what Jesus got. If
but
not, you know,
we are
he only had what we,
because
yeah.
When God looks at Christine, he sees the righteousness of Jesus. So you're as righteous as Jesus
yeah,
is.
Yeah, that's right. We've got to manifest that. We've got everything in us to be that.
But we are that.
Yeah, we are. Yeah.
We are the righteousness of Christ.
Yeah.
So God judges righteously. So there's no condemnation.
No.
Yeah, if Christ is in us, then everything that Christ has got, we've got.
We've,
yes, exactly.
But
yeah.
It's getting this to get it in line with exactly what you said. Because this mind of ours, it can be really so powerful at times to even convince us otherwise, can't it?
Don't feel righteous,
and,
does it?
And sometimes it does it in such a way that we don't even realise it's done it to us.
You've got to just crucify your emotions, just get rid of them.
Well, the word says crucify the flesh.
Yeah.
And emotions is part of the flesh.
Yeah.
Paul said, I crucify my flesh daily, didn't he?
Yeah.
It's, this is one in Timothy. It says, all scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
In righteousness, yeah.
So really, the more you read the Word of God, the more you understand your righteousness.
Yeah.
It builds righteousness in you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does.
It's this. It's not to make your spirit righteous. That is righteous.
Mm.
It's getting this righteous.
Yeah.
It's got to be transferred from your spirit to your flesh.
Yeah.
That this flesh man will adhere to the spirit man.
And that's how it builds up in this, the word. It does, it builds your feeling.
It
I mean, to my mum today when she spoke to me, oh, Christine,
must
she,
be righteous.
She sounded right giddy and excited. And I thought, oh, great.
I was.
It's fabulous.
And it was
I
wonderful.
Tell somebody.
And,
it's fabulous.
And I says, it was just so lovely to hear. And now we're getting the same, you see, what I did. And I was at it. I was sat for about 3 hours this afternoon.
But that's what
what
this word will do. That what we will be giving out tonight, just starting with this will begin to, it starts that process of changing the spirit, and the word is working on the soulish man and changing the mindset of the soulish man.
Renewing our minds.
That's right. Oh, yeah. There you go.
Yeah,
because.
Back to that one, aren't we? Romans 12.
Yeah.
Renewing the mind, you see.
That's been coming to me for 2 years.
Because the head of your body is your head, i.e., your mind. And your spirit only listens to what's being said. So when you start confessing the word, you're feeding your spirit. You're not feeding your spirit when you're just sort of reading it and taking it into your mind.
No.
Only feed your spirit when your spirit hears it. So to get it down here, you've got to use this.
That's good, that's good way of putting it now.
Yeah. That's why I've said in the past, you know, faith comes by here. I've said to you, read the word of God.
Speak it
out
loud. You see, I was doing that today with these.
It changes.
Remembering who you are in Christ, and when you speak it out, you feel it.
Yeah, it changes the atmosphere. It changes your thinking, and it affects you in your spirit. It does something.
Oh, it does.
And it does something that you and I don't. We can't sort of see it in sort of see how it does it in the natural, but we sense and we know it does something in the natural to us, because the spirit is greater than the natural. The spirit came before the natural. This that we see now exists because of the spirit.
Spirit, soul, body.
Yeah.
And we've turned it
around. Yeah, and we have turned it around. We now deal and think we deal with the natural first, and then finally end up with the spirit. Well, no, we should start with spirit first, and then it will affect the body. When we get to the body, the body's all sorted. The mind's all sorted. But we have to go spirit first. I know we're going over old ground, and it's not a bad thing to do, because we need at times to refresh ourselves. We need to remind ourselves, because so often the world can come in and other things can come in, and we just lose sight for a moment, and then we've lost sight for a moment, it then becomes longer and longer, and we get diverted from the vision and the goal that we had.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what the enemy wants to do, which can divert you. If he can't stop you, a diversion is just about as good.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Send you down the wrong track.
Mm.
Read Pilgrim's Progress. There's a few wrong tracks down there, a few diversions. Yeah, and that's, and if the devil can't stop you, he'll divert you. Don't matter which, he's happy to do either. Because hopefully when he gets you diverted, at some stage you'll fall off. But we've got to stay focused. And the word, again, as we read the word, refreshes us in our spirit. It keeps our mind focused on God.
Yeah.
What's that scripture? He whose mind is stayed on thee.
Will
keep him in perfect peace.
Isaiah 26.
So if your mind is stayed on God, you will be in peace. Because God's not stressed.
And the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Because God is a God of peace.
What's a joyful church?
Yeah.
Let's be joyful with
God.
Amen.
Righteousness, I'll use this one for you. Righteousness is an essence of God.
Yeah.
As love is an essence of God.
Mm.
It's not a feeling.
No.
It's not an emotion.
You've
got
to do something to show
it. Yeah, it is an action, but it's a result of the very essence of it. It's so much, it's so deeper, is the love of God. And you know, I preached on that for a long time. Because it's such a powerful thing. And this, the righteousness is like an essence that comes out of God. You know, his very being portrays and exudes righteousness. It's like a perfume, if you want. Like love from him is like a perfume. You become enveloped in it. In the love of God. And in one sense, you can't really see it. And in one sense, you can't see righteousness, but in God, but it's there. It's just that enveloping of love and righteousness, justice. That's another word that fits with righteousness.
Righteousness and judgment were together in all of some of these when I looked at them.
Mm.
That's right.
Mm.
But you know, when we're righteous, judgment means
good.
Yeah. Well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Yeah, judgment can give you first place,
let
you in.
Yeah, judgment can hand out gold medals. I want a better word. They come from God, not from me. And so when we, you know, when you look at these things and you see what God has got for us, something to be excited about. There's
it
so
is,
much.
It's wonderful.
So much. Hallelujah. Yeah.
So often we think judgment is a negative.
Oh, exactly.
We do. Yeah, I was thinking,
as you just said that a few minutes ago,
But you see, that is the way we've been brought up, isn't it? That judgment is always going to be negative. And that's where we've been brought up that way.
Punishment
is judgment means to receive punishment. But I've always said to you, there's two sides to judgment. If somebody's going to be punished, somebody else is going to be rewarded. You know, if it's found in your favour, then it's not found in the devil's favour. So he's going to receive punishment and you're going to receive your just rewards. Take note of the word just rewards. You see?
Because we're righteous.
Because we're the righteousness of God. And through Jesus and his sacrifice, the price has been paid for you and for me.
As long as we stay connected to the vine, we can't lose.
Amen.
It's the thing. That's the other thing that people have got to get hold of. It is not a part-time relationship.
No.
Grace and I didn't get married and say, well, I'll see you next year, love. You know.
That lasted a long time.
In some cases, some marriages might work better that way, I suppose, yeah. Ours wouldn't have, that's definite.
Well, I'm thinking about my neighbour, because I mean, his wife, bless him, Fred, she goes out every day, and it'll be my 50 years, but he never sees her hardly, so I mean, I always think about them.
Well, after 50 years, you say, well, he knows exactly what she looks like, he knows exactly how she thinks, that's it. I mean, we've been married now, what, 41? 41 years. But it's not been a case of, I'll see you next year, you know, it's, we live day by day with each other, in each other's pocket, basically. And work together, live together, sleep together, eat together.
Get to work together these days.
Go to work together all
closer
the time.
Closer than ever these
We're
days.
Than ever. Some people, you know, you hear people say, well, I could never work with my wife, I don't know how you do it. Well, obviously they're not in love enough. Because love forgives. Love, you know, covers all wrongs and etc. And you know, when she gets a bit stroppy, well, love has to cover that, doesn't it?
Yeah, all the way about.
Oh, goodness, we don't get stroppy.
I really like get a response. But it, all the time, love covers, you see. Love covers, and this is what, that's what love is all about. That even when we do something wrong, love just covers over it and says, come on, because we, that stronger bond that carries us through. And a lot of people, as I said, a lot of people say, well, I can't work with my wife. Well, don't have a problem. She works in one office, I work in the other. And the door's always open.
If you need to sound off, there's always the packing room.
Glory to Jesus.
Something we were on about last week, do you remember when we were about Matthew 7, verse 12? It says, in everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want
to. Yes,
and I said, there was something else I was trying to attach to it, and it came to me.
What was it?
It says, if somebody does something bad to you, don't do to them what they did to you, but do to them what you'd like them to do to you.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. That finishes you talking about.
That's love.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
That's loving. That's true love.
I couldn't quite
in
remember
action.
Half of that.
Yeah.
Half of it.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's true love in action. Because none of us want anybody to do us any harm, do we? So in other words, we constantly should be doing that, you know, if we don't want to receive harm, then we're not going to give it, are we? And if somebody does give us harm, well, the word says, pray for them,
forgive them,
love them, and in that, in doing so, you heap coals of fire upon their heads. You aren't doing anything but just loving them, but they themselves begin to, because they didn't get the reaction they were looking for. And it'll
do one or two things. It'll either, you know,
deal with them and sort them out, or they'll just disappear out of your life altogether. And sometimes that's not a bad thing. And but yeah, it's true. If we love people the way we want to be loved, and do as we want to be done to others, then that's what we should do, because that's the power of the word. See, the human side of us say, I'm going to get my own back.
Yeah, that's right.
Isn't it?
Yeah,
they'll not do that to me again.
I'll just wait.
Yeah. I'll show them. But love says, no, you don't do that. Oh, but God, where's all the fun in that? It isn't it, you know. The love of God is the opposite to our thinking. And that's why the Spirit has to be foremost in our hearts and our lives.
But look at Jesus, I mean, when he said forgive them, what, all crucified him, beat him, and did all they did to him, and yet he just forgave. You see,
the
that
Father forgives them.
The ultimate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, could we do that?
No.
Now,
a lot of folk in the world don't understand what love is.
No.
You know,
no.
When I think back to when I first met you two, You know, it's like, oh well, I love you, and it's like, yeah, yeah, right, whatever. And it
touched a
wound. It didn't mean anything. It's like, oh yeah, right, of course you don't.
Everybody loves me,
and it didn't mean a thing because we're not brought. I mean, although Grandma, looking back now, obviously did love us, but there was never any affection.
No.
There was never any cuddles. There were never any hugs.
No.
Somebody came to hug me, they'd probably get a bunch of fives because you don't. What are you doing that for? Get off. And I just mentioned to Grace the other day, didn't I? One of the breakthroughs in my life, I went shopping one day. I found these teddy bears. And it's like, I love you. And I thought, And I stuck them on the dinner plate one Sunday night. And this one then decides he wants a hug. And it's like, hang on a minute. This has gone far enough. Your teddy bear's there. Just leave me alone. But the thing is, it's a process. And there are a lot of people that don't know how to receive or show love.
No.
And so sometimes if you're expecting people to love you, you're wasting your time because they need to be taught and they need to be shown.
Mm.
Yeah.
So if you're going to show your grotty side, you know, I'm going to get my own back, they need to see what love is.
Mm.
Mm.
And until you know what love is, you're not going to respond to it, are you?
Mm.
I think sometimes they'll barrier up, don't they?
Mm.
Stop
people
from getting too close.
She didn't have barriers, she had brick walls. Double
wire.
Barbed wire up top.
That's the one, you got it.
You can try, but watch
Tracy,
out.
I had a roof on, love.
Yeah.
Before I came here, I've never hugged anybody. Nobody ever hugged me, and it took quite a long time for me to get used to it.
But you see, we didn't stop.
I've never had physical contact with other human beings.
And you see, but we didn't stop.
Yeah, but it's a godly love, isn't it? It's a godly contact. It is a godly contact.
But like Bill says, you know, because of the way he'd been brought up and things, he'd never really been hugged and shown.
My partner didn't know what love was. He'd never received it as a child, and you went to his house where his mum lived, and he didn't. And he didn't know how to give it either.
No.
They don't, if they've never been taught
it.
No,
it was cold as ice, Ray. Really as cold as ice.
Do
you know, and it's funny
very
today, I've even wrote something about love as well, because I found that. It was just something I wrote a few weeks ago, and I thought, just on a bit of paper, I thought, well, I'm going to write it in, because, you know, because you navigate these big bits of paper, I don't want to lose it. And I've wrote about love as well today. Just about... Love becomes active through knowledge of his word. You must act on his word. Be perfected in you. God has recreated, that's it, your spirit in the image of love. His love spirit lives within you. He wants to teach you to love as he loves.
Mm.
To become love conscious by confessing and acting on God's word concerning his love. You have to make a decision to perfect the love of God in your life. Love is opposed to the senses. The senses have been trained to put themselves and desires first above anything else. To walk in love, you must demand your senses to be subject to the word. His word is your manual. It gives instructions. Follow it and walk in love. Unless you don't take action, it remains hidden. Walking in love is walking in the Spirit. It takes faith to believe that love's way will not fail. The love of God is released by acting on God's word.
It's true.
I just felt really...
You see, some people can't touch and hug and that. So you've got to do it to them, haven't you?
Mm. Demonstrate the love of God.
Yeah,
we demonstrate the love of God. We practice the love of God. We demonstrate the love of God. We show the love of God to people, because there'll be more and more people who come through church out of the world that don't know what real love is. They know what lust is, but they don't know what love is, and they're totally different. They put love to the word lust, and they're not the same.
No.
By any stretch of the imagination.
A million miles away.
And it's the love of God that has to that wins through people's lives.
It was Bill sent me an email about the church organist's wife in Sheffield whose husband was murdered.
Yeah, you know, it just come to me about 5 minutes ago and I was going to ring it up.
Oh, go on then, Bill. No,
she, I mean, you've probably heard about it. Alan Greaves, according from I Green, Christmas Eve, who were going to church to play organ, and these youths were looking for a bit of a laugh, so they jumped on him and stamped on his head and kicked his head in. Somebody who was stamped on somebody's head and jumped on it, jumped into the air and come down with a full weight on somebody's head. I would like to have a chat with a person like that and ask, what were your intentions at the time? Because in court we'll say, I didn't mean him any harm, I didn't mean to kill him. And I'd like to see what their intentions are now.
Were they drugged up?
Just angry?
Just came out, yeah. And after they'd done that, I left him lying in the road and they went off laughing their heads off, right, you know. And the wife of this man, she's forgiven them and she's prayed for them and she prays that they will realise what they have done while they're spending time in prison, right, and they will probably be rehabilitated or something like that afterwards when they come out. Right.
It's a big thing.
What
were
you
going to
say about
that?
Much interest.
No, it really, when you sent it to me, I thought, I bet this has really impacted Bill, the way that she's prayed for them. And she was very honest.
Yeah.
She had to every day renew her mind.
Mm.
And it wasn't something that came easy, was it?
No.
She had to grasp hold of it, face it, deal with it every day, and determine that she would love and forgive and pray a blessing on her.
Because it was exactly the same with the woman in Liverpool whose son was a dog dead with an ice axe, and they killed him at a bus stop. He was seeing his girlfriend home, and these gang of youths come up and hit him on the head with the split his skull on, and he died there. And then I heard her talking on the radio, and she actually said that I forgive them and I pray for them. The most evil creatures you can imagine, but it's not what they are now, it's what they might become after a while, when they have had time to turn it over and maybe go away from God or not.
And the power of prayer changes things.
Yeah.
And you can, as we said, we started off with quoting the word and using the word to change circumstances and situations, and prayer is using the word of God. And it will change circumstances, it will change lives.
Yeah.
We might not think it's possible.
Can we all do this? I mean, it's easy to say, but unless we're actually in that circumstance, could we do all do that? And we will only know when we're actually in that circumstance.
That's right. No idea.
You can't say, oh, I'll forgive him, but could you?
But in that sense, I suppose, we start the preparation with small things as we work towards. You know, there are some things that people do to us, and in comparison to what's happened to this lady who's lost her husband and this lady who's lost her son, some of these small things where people upset us, and you hear families, I'll never forgive them.
Mm-hmm.
And they never speak then.
No,
the family separates and they never have conversation with each other. And when years later you ask them, what was it about? I can't remember. That's how small it was in the end.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'll never forgive them brought in with it was a thing called pride.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then the pride took over and built this wall.
Mm-hmm.
And after that he said, well, what was it all about? I don't know, because I can't get through this wall.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's this pride that's come up. I'm not saying that's what happens but on the smaller side of things, very often it's pride that gets in the way.
Mm.
Our pride. And that's what brought the Satan down. His pride.
I visited this lass I know in London a couple of years ago, and I've known her quite a long time now, and I asked her, does she still see her mate? When they were younger, they were like two peas in a pod, inseparable. She says, no. She says, she never came to my dad's funeral, and I'll never forgive her for that. So, friendship's over over there.
Sad that, isn't it?
Of a silly little thing like that.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, she hasn't had her son murdered, or her husband murdered. She's only just not didn't come to a dad's funeral, it's a small thing. Fallout of it, slight little thing.
Exactly. And that's why, you know, we have to be bigger than. And we do this in the spirit, we don't do it in the flesh. If we try to do it in the flesh, we'll fall down. We'll end up just like them. But if we do things in the spirit and say, I'm going to forgive, we're not looking, you know, and yet they've not repented even. You don't wait to forgive somebody when they decide to repent. You forgive them. God did not wait for you to repent and then said, I forgive you. The moment that Jesus died, he says, I've forgiven you all. For everyone that is to come, you're already forgiven. Right? All that happened is that when we came to Christ, we actually then received the gift of forgiveness and opened it up for our lives. But it was already given.
See, it's by learning about God's love that enables you to forgive.
Yeah.
Because
it is.
Forgiveness of the world in the flesh is just so completely different to what God's forgiveness is.
Absolutely. Forgiveness in the world is you've got conditions. I'll forgive you if.
And that's, I mean, I can't get enough of this. I just think the more I need it, I need to be full of love and forgiveness. That's what I feel. I just.
Yeah, it's fine.
I think you find that, you know, I found out since I've become a Christian, and the more it's going on and on and on, year in, year out, that you know, at one bit, if anybody had said anything to me, well, say I'll say Joe, if you know, he upset me. He upset me. I would think, not talking to me like that. And I go, yeah. Now, I just ignore it. Or I'll say something. I'm so different.
Just to hear it.
I used to think, I'm not going to be a doormat or a mouse. Nah.
The difference
and that's
now.
Not the answer, is it? It's silly. It's silly when you think about it, isn't it? Well,
it becomes so easy, doesn't it, to act in God's love, and I think there's something like it. When I first manifested, I learnt about it, I thought, bye, I love this. Honestly, the flesh and the love of it, I just think, oh no, go away.
And you do fall by the wayside sometimes, don't we?
Yeah.
You still, you know.
Oh yeah, I'm not saying I won't do. I'm not saying I won't.
No, I'm saying we do, don't we?
Yeah,
we do.
It's a process that we're in.
Yeah.
We're not perfect yet, but we're on the road to perfection.
Yeah.
God sees us perfect. He's already in tomorrow.
And the thing is, we get tested by what we preach,
don't
we?
Absolutely, yeah. There you go.
I think as well, when somebody's done you an injustice, it's a good thing to read 1 Corinthians 13 and say, just those verses 4 through to 7 or 8, isn't it? And then you could look at that, and that's your standard of measure. So you look at that and you say, well, love keeps no record of wrongs.
No.
Love sees no wrong. It takes no notice of suffered wrong. And you think, well, how am I measuring up by this in this situation? And I'm not, so I've got to get in line with the Word of God, so I've not got to keep any record of it. I've not got to hold it.
You see, it's often the person who's doing you injustice is the person who actually does need love.
Yeah.
I mean, what we're saying other week, I don't know what I'm talking about, but this bloke with no arms and no legs. I don't know if you listen to it or anything, but it was something I read in I Believe magazine, and he was stood on stage preaching, and these lads at front jeering and laughing and creating a scene. And this lad in particular, one of them was doing more so than the rest of him. And what this I've forgotten his name, what this lad did, he asked him to come to the front.
Nick Yulichuk.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Remember that? And he asked them all, he said, give me a love. And this lad who'd been doing the most at during and most of it actually sobbed his heart out.
Mm.
And that really, I thought, yeah.
It must have hit him somewhere, hasn't
yeah.
it?
Oh, yeah.
And made him think.
There's a page on our website dedicated to him.
Yes.
You can have a look.
Oh, right.
There's quite a few videos on it, of his videos.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've seen
him.
Got my husband 20 years in a relationship, and when we split up, and I don't love him and I don't hate him. I don't wish him no harm. I don't anything. I just don't. There's nothing there.
No.
It's gone. He leads his life, and I lose my life.
Praise God.
Amen.
Time has flown by.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Hasn't it?
Time to go home.
We've been at this for a while now.
We'll have to stop enjoying ourselves.
Yes.
Time
I know. I don't look at time, I don't realise what time it is.
And these not just to be read, but to meditate today.
Yes.
Yeah.
Reading them at once in continual.
No. It's for repetition.
Yes.
15 times a day, I believe.
Yeah, at least.